Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. We're about to welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's very own Braves insider and reporter and host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley. And our conversation with Grant is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service, and by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He's also my postgame host for the Atlanta Falcons, so we'll be hanging out with Grant on Sunday night. Grant, look, the people want to know, and we're just going to go ahead and start this off. Did you know that Allie was part of improv troupe when she was in high school? Because that to me is that's a pretty good group to be a part of, my friend.
I did know that. I did not know all of the details behind it, and I have not been able to see any videos or any performances whatsoever, but yeah, I did know that.
Please, God, ask somebody in her family to dig those up. Please.
No kidding. What group were you a part of, Grant? Were you a part of a group in high school?
Not really that I can think of. It's been a long time, and I've slept since then, as I like to say, but no, I just pretty much went to school, did what I needed to do, and then went on to college, and that's when I really got into doing a lot more groups.
Were you a part of in college, Grant?
Ooh.
Well, I was in a fraternity where I was the president. I was in student government. I wrote for the paper, did a lot of different things, so just kind of anything I could get involved with, because that was when I feel like I really got the opportunity to meet some great people and create some lifelong friendships and kind of come out of my shell, as it were.
I don't want to be that guy, but I swear that you and a good friend of all of ours, Mark Owen, started some kind of organization. Was it a wrestling organization?
We definitely did. We definitely did. So that was probably one of our best and simultaneously worst ideas, if you really go back and track it down. And if you were to go and check some of the areas around the school, you might still see evidence of some of those shows.
This is incredible. This is absolutely incredible.
We both have equally embarrassing things in our history.
I think we all do.
Yes.
I think we all do. Absolutely.
Yeah. None of us are void of embarrassment. It's just,
I think we all do.
You know.
No doubt about it. Grant, all right, so let's talk about the Braves just a little bit, man. Obviously, some ups and downs over the last few days, but this is a team that has made some additions, made some subtractions, and we're just building up towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And then, obviously, the eye has been on 2026 for a while, because we know where the Braves have been this year and, obviously, where they're not going this season. So I think that opportunity was out there to kind of think about where – you need to add, and if there's a way to do anything before you get into free agency, when it's just kind of that feeding frenzy and, you know, the market is what the market is. And I think that's kind of where the Ha-Seon Kim acquisition really speaks to what the Braves were trying to do around the trade deadline. And I know I talked about this month or more ago now, that they were talking to teams about players that could either get into free agency or just otherwise would have, you know, not necessarily been available, to see if there was a fit for them, even if the Braves weren't contending, to see if it was a fit that would help them beyond 2025. And Ha-Seon Kim is definitely one of those. I think that he would have had a bigger market. I mean, he obviously would have in free agency this past winter, were it not for getting that shoulder surgery that ended his season in 2024. You knew he was going to miss the first half of this year, and he did. And now he's just kind of trying to, I think, get himself back on track, but holds a $16 million player option for next year, which, when you look at the shortstop class that's out there in free agency, it's Bo Bichette and not a lot else. And I do feel like there will be some teams ready to throw a lot of money at Bo Bichette, and some could argue maybe an irresponsible amount of money at him. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I'd like the Ha-Seon Kim thing because I like the player that he is and can be. He's shown us a little bit over the first couple of days, admittedly very small sample size, but he feels the position well. He has power. He's shown that. He can run the bases well. Just does a lot of things that, at least for a year, kind of lets the Braves get into their future where they've drafted a ton of shortstops just this year. There's a big draft class next year that might have some great shortstops in it and does. So we'll see what the long-term fit at shortstop is. You don't necessarily have to go out in free agency and sign somebody to an 8-year deal.
Well, in staying on theme with the additions that the Braves have made, we talked about the pitcher that the Braves called up the other day. Has an interesting story. Hayden Harris was with the Savannah Bananas at one point. What else do you know about this guy?
Yeah, very interesting to see those guys make it to the big leagues. But Hayden Harris was a non-drafted free agent, signed with the Braves in 2022, had already played for the Savannah Bananas at that point. And, you know, he's put together an incredible season this year after kind of just being, I would say, just kind of an arm in the minor leagues, kind of intriguing, big strikeout numbers, but just didn't find sustained success. But this year, he's allowed 3 runs at 2 minor league levels across 40 innings, I believe, 40-plus innings, and is just racking up strikeouts. So I was curious, he pitched in the Futures game this year as well, you know, how long it would be until we saw him around the All-Star break. And it's just gone on and on and on, and obviously the Braves bullpen has needed some answers for a while, so maybe we'll finally all get to, you know, figure out what the curiosity is about Hayden Harris and see if his stuff plays at the big league level, because he's not the hardest thrower, but he's got some really, really good stuff and obviously can miss bats, and the Braves have needed some of that.
Grant, Ronald Acuna Jr. has now moved back to the leadoff spot. He's 1 for his last 26 with 9 strikeouts. What's going on with him?
I think it's just kind of one of those ways you go through in a season for him. I've seen him hit the ball awfully hard several times, including once yesterday, a ball that was tracked down at the wall at Wrigley. So I think it's just kind of, you know, the highs and lows that are built into a season. Personally, I mean, I know he moved back to leadoff because Jerickson Profar is off on paternity leave. When Jerickson rejoins the team this weekend against Seattle, I'm expecting that he'll go back into the leadoff spot, but I also probably would never have moved Ronald Acuna Jr. I understand, to use the word again, the Braves' curiosity of trying something because their offense was not getting anything done, and clearly Profar has had a very good run over the past month, but I'm of the opinion with Ronald, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I would have left him in the leadoff spot and maybe just batted Profar second because he's a switch hitter, and I thought that's kind of what the Braves were thinking about doing before, because to me, at least at this point, I'm not really a fan of the Matt Olson thing at second because I don't really feel like that's moving the needle either. So there's a few things that haven't worked, but overall the Braves offense has been much more consistent in the second half. Ronald hasn't really necessarily been a huge part of that, but we know how hot he can get and how quickly that can happen. So I would imagine before we're done with the month of September that Ronald has found a way to be a big contributor in a number of ways.
Grant McCauley joining us, Braves Insider. Grant, I'm going to go a little bit away from the Braves here, and I'm just going to ask you to give me your opinion on this because I don't want you to get too deep in the weeds on the whole ESPN TV contract thing where they're, you know, from framework for the streaming rights and everything else. But supposedly coming along with this would be that ESPN is moving away from Sunday Night Baseball and perhaps moving their exclusive rights games to another night of the week. Now, if Grant McCauley were in charge of the four-letter network, which night of the week would you want to put the Major League Baseball games on ESPN?
Goodness, I feel like maybe Wednesday would be a day that would make sense as a showcase. Because
the old school doubleheader night.
Yeah, there's not as much going on there. I mean, a Sunday night showcase makes sense for virtually every sport. I mean, who wouldn't want a game in that particular time where everybody's weekend is kind of building to that crescendo and that's the big, you know, marquee event? I mean, clearly we know the NFL is built around Sunday primarily. Every sport basically plays at some point on Sundays, it seems like. Even college football now, we've got Sunday games. So, I don't know. I think Wednesday would probably make the most sense. The doubleheader would certainly be nice. I remember that growing up. I thought that was kind of fun, and maybe they'll do that in an old-school kind of way. Just get back into the Wednesday doubleheader business.
Hey, Grant, are you excited for your first post-game co-hosting duties with Mike this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely is. I'll answer that for him.
Yeah, no, I'm very, very much looking forward to it. I mean, I know we did the preseason walkthroughs, I'll call them that. But, yeah, I think we're in line for a fun season. I think there's a lot of excitement around this team for good reason. And I'm looking forward to talking about it with Mike for at least 2 hours after each and every one of these games.
Attaboy, man. Rise up.
All right, what are you working on for From the Diamond this weekend?
Yeah, trying to figure out exactly what I'm going to do. I think I'm kind of displaced by the amount of football that's on the station this week. But obviously it's been a big move for shortstop for the Braves club. So maybe diving into that and putting up something on the podcast. So if you are a follower of From the Diamond, make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcast. Please leave a rating. I always appreciate those. And you can also find it on the Odyssey app.
I'm giving you 5 stars right now, Grant. 5 stars right now.
5 stars. Thanks, Grant. We appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone.
That is Grant McCauley, 92.9 The Game's Braves insider and host of From the Diamond / Mike's co-host on the post-game show on the Atlanta Falcons radio network.
Dude, I have an update from Andy Bunker, the name of his improv group when he was in high school.
Oh, what was it?
How about this? Theater Sports. He were the state champs of theater sports. Dude,
he how just amazing
texted me in the middle of that, and I was like, yes!
Send that
theater sports.
Send that to Randy.
Theater Sports.
Please send that to Durant.
The greatest thing I've ever heard of. Judges and everything, he says. Theater Sports.
Wow. That's incredible.
Wow.
Hey, this Saturday from noon until 2, you can join me out at Calavan Kia in Lithia Springs as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit. It's a 50-inch 4K smart TV with rolling stand, other prizes, and another winner is going to take home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, that is this Saturday from noon until 2 at Calavan Kia in Lithia Springs with me and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we will be joined by Shannon Joyner, Vice President of Marketing for the Atlanta Falcons. He is up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.